You're listening to Around Comics, episode 97.
This is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman. I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Yay! Hello, it's Free Comic Book Day!
Yay! Oh, much excitement.
I missed the parade.
Tom Caters is on assignment for the weekend.
So. On assignment, he's
he's on to whereabouts unknown.
He's at Latveria getting another exclusive with Doom.
Actually, I think he's continuing his research for Justice Society of America, Comics 101.
Tracking down Jeff Johns.
Actually, I think he's looking for Dr. Fate.
Dr. Chimp?
Looking for Detective Chimp.
It's just me and you, buddy.
Yeah,
this is going to be. I'm going to have to try and fill in for Tom.
What's it's you and me and a cast of thousands.
Thousands here.
There are thousands of people.
There's a lot of people here. It's noon on Saturday on Free Comic Book Day, and there's tons of people in there. Way more people than are usually here on a Friday night.
Yeah,
I wonder what that says.
What's
about.
Funny? I got here a little early, and there were people waiting outside. And,
waiting at
and,
the door.
And Mark opened up the door, and we literally had to push them away from the door.
It was two young girls.
It was four people.
Oh, don't over exaggerate things.
Well, what's funny is that one of the girls that was waiting outside is like, are they going to have the Umbrella Academy? I was like,
the Gerard. Yeah, the couple of goth chicks.
Yeah.
Looking for Gerard Way's Umbrella.
I was like, let me guess, you're a My Chemical Romance fan.
Hey.
And she's like, oh, I love them. I was like, yeah.
Well, you know, he's obviously a comic fan. He has been for a long time. If you see any of the album artwork,
sure.
And even stuff in his videos to some degree. So it's no surprise. And I remember when they announced that book and everything, I was kind of looking forward to it. I'm a My Chemical Romance fan.
Sure.
I'm dressed in all black with a teardrop right now, and
your black Free Comic Book Day shirt.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're the picture of comic fandom.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I got one on too.
My free Comic Book Day shirt.
Well, I do want to let everyone know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
When art attacks strike a small town, only four high school girls could be responsible. Get your copy of the new DC Minx line book, The Plain Janes by Cecil Castellucci and Jim Rugg, at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com or use the store locator at aroundcomics.com.
I bet you those two gals that picked up the Umbrella Academy
may
be interested in. Not that we wouldn't be interested.
Well, you're much like a 14-year-old girl.
I am.
And I think, you know, something like that, teen angst romance graphic novels, right up your alley, buddy.
It appeals to me.
You could put it right on the shelf next to your DVD collection of the Gilmore Girls, and you'll be good to go.
You know, they did announce that Gilmore is not coming back for a new season next year.
Oh, I'm heartbroken.
But it's time. They jumped the shark.
They jumped the shark.
All right. Around Comics is normally recorded every Friday night at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. We're here on a Saturday, of course.
It was nice to be home on a Friday night.
I know. I went out to the movies last night.
I did, too.
Pissed Marta off.
Well.
It's like, oh, I finally...
You left her at home?
Yeah.
And went out with Mike Norton.
Went with Mike
you
Norton.
You are super nerd, dude. You leave your wife at home and you went and... Well, I can't say much. I left my wife and children at home and went out and saw it with my cousin, so... I guess I can't say much more, but...
I felt horrible whenever she looked at me at, 8 o'clock last night. She's like, one way or another, every Friday night, Spider-Man steals you from me.
One way, yeah, that's... Blame Peter.
But Dark Tower is located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. While you're here, remember to ask about Dark Tower's pull list membership. It's truly one of the best you will find anywhere. All right, this is going to be a little different episode for us. We normally do our news and reviews.
Outside of the box.
This is, we're going to have a little bit of that, but since this is Free Comic Book Day, that's going to be a little bit of our focus today.
Format change.
for the week.
Well,
it's good. It's good for us to grow and change a little bit.
Sure, absolutely. We've been doing, what do we got, 96 episodes the same? Well, no, we've changed like three times in a year.
Yeah, we're good.
We're evolving. We're
good
constantly,
for about 2 weeks on a format change. Yeah. Well, I tell you, let's do go over a little bit of news to start the show.
Dun, dun, dun.
It is time for Wire to Wire comic book news.
Wire to Wire comic book news.
All right, speaking of movies, Spider-Man 3 opened up this past week, but we did get some new news from the Hulk movie, and they have not only cast Bruce Banner, but now we have Betty Ross.
My favorite elf of all time, Liv Tyler.
It is Liv Tyler.
So. I love Liv Tyler. I don't know, I mean, it's not only, I was a big Aerosmith fan, so obviously being the daughter of
Steven Tyler,
but she's a good actress, too, and she's not, she's easy on the eyes, so.
That she is, and she makes a good elf.
She does make a good elf.
So it's interesting. We've been talking about the great Iron Man casting, which I think is set up to be probably the highest profile casting for a comic book movie.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
But now we've got Ed Norton Jr. Playing Bruce Banner and Liv Tyler as Betty Ross, so the Hulk is shaping up to have a pretty good cast as well.
It, like I said on our forum earlier, it may actually wipe away the stain of the Ang Lee Hulk.
The polarizing Ang Lee.
I only say that because guys like Dave Walker get so upset because he loved that movie. And I can understand, I mean, from Dave's perspective, because he's an art school kid, so you know he's looking at it from maybe a different perspective.
The introspective Hulk, where you and I really kind of want to see tanks thrown through skyscrapers.
Yeah. Well, like I think Mike Norton had said before, it's like, or you had quoted Mike or somebody that you know it was like there was a good section of that movie that to me as a Hulk fan really enjoyed the middle of it where he's in the desert fighting an army and stuff, and it was just a lot of the rest of it was not so good. But I'm just kind of hoping that they do a better job with the CGI on the Hulk, because I think that was a big downfall.
Well,
some parts of it.
It's not going to be all CGI, and they actually have announced the main villain, and it's going to be the Abomination, but it's not going to be the Abomination.
That we know?
It's going to be the Abomination that comic fans know, but they're not going to refer to him as the Abomination. So,
oh, well.
It should be interesting. All right, next story. We had touched on
next
this.
Next story.
We had touched on this.
Before we move on to that, you had mentioned the Iron Man. Did you see the first photo of the armor?
It looks awesome.
Yeah, I thought they did a nice job of like combining more of like Ron, or is it Ron Lim? No, I can't think of the artist.
You're gonna,
not Ron Lim. Well, the 80s and 90s, early 90s armor with the
Garnov stuff.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty cool. It looked good.
Looks fantastic. So, no nose, which is good.
Yeah, what does he need a nose for? Come on, he's got to have a breathing system in there.
Wait, actually, I talked to a former guest who works in some licensing and had said that he's been working on some of the licensing stuff for the movie, and it looked great. He didn't divulge any information.
He can. They'll kill him.
I know. They'll track him down.
They will. Bury
you know
him.
Who you are.
Bury.
All right, next story. We had touched on this briefly after New York, that George Perez was gearing down his tour stops on conventions. So he can work on Brave and the Bold and spend more time with his wife, who I believe is in a touring dance company.
Wow.
So
George Perez hanging with the dancers.
Yeah.
Nice.
What's, you know, good for George. But
maybe
he
he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Wouldn't that be kind of funny? And comic book artist George Perez.
Who would be that? Her?
Her? Well, it's funny. I don't know if you've seen that show. It's Penn Jillette, Penn and Teller.
Mm-hmm.
He has a show that ran for a little while, and then it was off, and then I think it's come back called Identity, and it's like a game show where they have 12 people standing on the stage, and you have to guess their identity. You have to match it. They have a list of identities, you know, whether
George Perez was on there?
No, but Stan Lee was on one of the early episodes.
Nice.
And the guy had no... And the identity was creator of Spider-Man. That was identity that he had to match. And the guy had no clue who he was at all, and my wife even knew who, you know, she's like, what is this guy, a moron? It's Stan Lee, you know. So it was pretty
funny.
You're turning
your wife into a
I know, she yelled at me. It's a funny story. She emailed me yesterday while I was at work, and said, hey, are you getting all of the 28 free Comic Book Day comics? I'm like, how do you even know that there's 28? She's like, because you turned me into a nerd. I'm like, what were you doing? She's on the free Comic Book Day website looking it up because she wanted to know more about what we were doing and everything, and then she saw some of the kids' comics that are out today.
The Bongo stuff, which was good.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse has got one and a couple other ones, so she wanted to make sure I was picking some up for the kids. But, pretty funny that my wife is slowly turning into a nerd, so...
Through osmosis.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, it's good.
It's good for her. She
hates me. Perez wrapped up his last U.S. stop until 2009. That was at the Pittsburgh Comic-Con. Sounds like he has a couple conventions out of the country that he's committed to, but we're not going to see him until 2009.
Wow.
So, good for him.
Yeah, hey, what the heck? He's been doing it for a long time.
He's been a convention mainstay for a long time.
Yeah.
So I think he deserves a couple years of stepping outside of the circuit for
and,
a bit.
You know, I don't know how old George is, but I'd imagine he's probably, what, 50?
He's got to be in his mid-50s.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we did New York, and we're not nearly that old, and it was tough on us.
Yeah, well, insight for the listeners out there. At the beginning of the year, we were like, okay, well, let's go to this convention, and this one, and maybe this one. And then after New York, it was like, okay, let's just do Chicago.
Yeah, forget it. It's
grueling.
It is. And for those guys, I can only imagine it's got to be 10 times as difficult and work for them. So
and it's different for the different levels of popularity in the industry.
Yeah, for him,
you know, a lot of the artists that go to conventions, they make.
Although those guys don't work for a living. I mean, they draw comics. Come on, that's not real work. It's not like he ain't lifting a shovel.
Yeah,
come on,
he ain't working the assembly line.
Right,
but I think it's different for different creators.
Yeah.
So, all right, last news story for the day here.
It's already that was like two.
Oh, you know what? I'll surf around here.
It was a short news week. There's got to be something.
Well, it was all Spider-Man 3 news.
Yeah.
And a few other movie updates. That seems to be the majority of the news coming out right now.
I got one more.
Okay, go ahead.
At least one. The MySpace countdown preview.
Oh, yes.
Came out. If you don't know MySpace.com, they have a comic book section on MySpace, and DC has an exclusive preview that they're doing. For the first half of Countdown number 51, which is the first issue of Countdown, it's counting backwards. And then I think they're also doing issue 50, but that's at MySpace.com. MySpace.com/comicbooks. You can see it there. So go check that out.
And possible spoilers here, but since this is kind of a mishmash of an episode, how do you like the end of 52? Now that Tom's not here, we can talk about it.
I liked it. I really liked the series all told. I mean, I thought for a weekly book, it was extremely good. And I thought I know some people have complained about the art or whatever, but I mean, for a book that's coming out weekly, I thought the art was pretty solid overall.
To cram 4.5 years worth of comics into 1 year, I think, was an amazing accomplishment.
Oh, yeah.
And to do it the quality that they did. It's been the last issue has been pretty polarizing from what I've seen online. There are, and once again, spoilers ahead, there are a lot of people that are either excited about the multiverse being back, and there
right.
are people that are really upset
about
it. Like, really upset about it.
Well, I can kind of see it both ways. I mean, personally, I think because... And they even kind of say it in the issue is like, you know, there's all these worlds that now you can explore.
Mm-hmm.
There's wonder. It was
Rip Hunter.
Rip Hunter was talking about it, you know, and I think that's sort of DC's idea is that, you know, what's the big deal? You know, it's like, okay, you have now 52 universes that writers can explore in, and they can tell any story they want. It doesn't really. It doesn't have to be in continuity.
I think probably 95% of the stories that you're going to read are going to be on Earth 1.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Now you have the ability that if you want to do something that's completely bizarre, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be an Elseworld story. It doesn't have. You know, even though it will be, but I mean, it. You know, it just gives them the option to do whatever they want with it. Now,
sure.
Will 10 years from now, will the continuity be so convoluted once again that they have to go and do another crisis? Maybe. Who knows?
And
I don't
you know
care.
What? If it's good storytelling,
who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get. I don't get comic fans that are so wrapped up in like the continuity of things that it has to be a certain. It's a comic book. It's fantastical storytelling.
I think a lot of it is people that started reading DC post Crisis, and this is the first Crisis that they feel like what they've read for the last 20 years doesn't matter now, and I don't think that's.
It's still there. Well, like Tom always says, those books are still there. They haven't gone anywhere. Those stories still exist. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change anything. I mean, just who you know, if you don't want to read a story that's set on Earth 14, don't read it. Sure. It's not going to change the stuff that you are reading.
Oh, Tom has put dibs on Earth 17, by the
way. Well, what's Earth 17?
That's the one with the Atomic Space Knights. He said that's his favorite Earth
now. That figures.
My favorite issue of Batman Superman in the last year or so was the Earth 2 story with Huntress and...
I don't read that book, but...
Personally,
I don't care. It's like, if you tell a good story, I don't care if it has anything to do with continuity. I don't pay enough attention to that stuff. You know, like with 52 and stuff, there were some cool things that happened in there that, and, you know, with like Geoff Johns' work. He goes back to the history of the characters, mm-hmm. but it's not necessarily, it has to be continuity driven. It's, you know... Whether you change something or not, as long as you are sort of respectful of the history that's happened. And I think, you know, DC's going to keep a tighter rein on it to some degree. I don't know that they're just going to let people go crazy and no. You're going to see all sorts of, you know... And who knows? By the time Countdown's done, there may not even be 52 universes anymore. You know what
we'll
I mean?
See.
It's like, yeah, who knows what's going
to happen? Well, one of the things, you know, there are a lot of fans that were upset that the question is Renee Montoya now. But... According to 52, there is an Earth out there that has the... It's Vic Savage, right?
Right.
You can tell
Vic Savage.
There is a
story.
Vic Savage
right.
question
well,
out
that,
there.
That's the whole point. It's like it doesn't, you know... It doesn't limit you anymore to, you know... And I understand why DC did the first Crisis, because it was, you know, it was just a mess. There was no structure to it whatsoever. It was just like... At least now you have sort of a structure, and, you know, who knows what's going to... Like I said, who knows what will happen by the end of Countdown, and... If things, you know, will change from there, but, you know, relax. It's not, go to sleep. Just relax a little bit because, you know.
Enjoy them.
Next story I dug up was, and I saw this on a website. There's going to be a Hip Flask jigsaw puzzle.
Yes.
That the Elephant Men... Richard Starkings, who we talked to a couple mm-hmm. weeks back, who was a great...
And it's a Ladrone images.
It is. It's Ladrone. It's 48 and a half by 68 centimeters, so that's what, like 20 by 30? It's like 20 by 30.
Richard, you live in the United States now. It's standard. Standard measurements, man. Standard measurements.
Well, actually, I guess centimeter would be more standardized in the world.
Yeah, but
sorry.
This is America, pal.
Well, okay. But yeah, they're releasing a jigsaw puzzle. It's going to be $24.99 and Ladrone art. So if you're an Elephant Men fan, check it out.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
You and Kim can have a puzzle night
yeah,
at home.
Absolutely. And then my kids will get it and eat it, and I'll be upset.
Little movie news, a little bit
more
movie
news.
Looks like Ronin is going to be a movie.
Well, you know, you figure with Frank Miller's clout in Hollywood now, he can pretty much, they're going to try and do anything they can with his name on it. So.
And it has landed at Warner Brothers, and the director, Sylvian White, who did Stomp the Yard, is already been attached to it.
Well, that's kind of an interesting pick for a director.
It is an interesting pick, so it's...
Well, you know, Ronan, I'm a huge fan of that book. I loved that book when it came out, and it's great stuff. Honestly, though, I mean, my love of that book is more based on the art in it than necessarily the story, per se. Not that it's a bad story, but just my personal opinion of it.
It was Frank Miller at the height of what he was doing art-wise.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was kind of a departure at that point from what he was doing, Daredevil and that, but you saw that as a step in his evolution to then, you know, Dark Knight and his style in that, and with Klaus Jansson. But I'll be seeing it.
Oh yeah,
you know, there's no question.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, we do have some free comic books to talk about. One of the free comic book day offerings that we've been excited about since November they announced?
Something like that, yeah.
It was the relaunch of Nexus from Rude Dude Productions.
10 years in the making.
And they are launching Nexus with a free preview.
They have launched.
And in the free comic book day offering, they're calling it Nexus's Greatest Hits.
Mm-hmm.
And it is three excerpts from three Nexus stories to kind of get new readers up to speed on the Nexus universe. And then there is a preview of Nexus 99, the first new Baron and Rude comic in 10 years.
Actually, it's five stories.
Five stories.
33, 34, 96, 97, and something else.
There you go.
Different ones that he handpicked. And the interesting thing about it, in the Steve wrote a little write-up on each clip from the story that he picked and why he picked it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think their point, you know, they were trying to like catch people up on it and then introduce the next, you know, book 99.
Well, I tell you what, there is probably a much better person to talk about Nexus than
me?
You and I. Yes, but even better than you.
Maybe one person. Only one person. Well, there are two people. Well, probably.
And one of those people would be Steve Rude. So I'll tell you what, let's talk to Steve Rude.
All right.
First of all, congratulations for your reintroduction of Nexus.
Thank you.
It looks great. We've had a chance to take a look at it and read the new story. So I tell you what, why don't you walk us through what it's been like to get the free comic book day offering out for people?
Well, let's see. Well, Rude Dude is just my house. So there's all the excitement here that normally goes on. Mr. Silly and Super are ecstatic. They're jumping on the trampoline right now. That's my little kids. They don't care.
They don't even like
Mr. Silly, a Mickey Mouse comic the other day, and he just loved it.
Nice. So Nexus and Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, he loves it. That's all he pretty much can watch besides SpongeBob.
So what's your plans for Free Comic Book Day today? What do you have going on?
I get invited to a shop around the area here. All the shops in Arizona are real big on supporting comics.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a couple enterprising young guys formed the Cactus Con. I think you know about that.
Sure.
And these guys are hot to trot. They're real determined to make this thing big in Arizona. You know, a bunch of guys like me moved here, and they thought, well, let's take advantage of this. And to top it off, they're just classy guys. Classy guys usually succeed in the world. And the conventions they've been putting on so far have been good, and they want to keep growing and growing. I'm sure they'll be quite big someday. So that's been the community around here with comics, as well as and the shops and all that kind of stuff. It's been they're going full bore here. It's good news. And one of the lesser shops, they have two big shops here, but one of the lesser shops that I wanted to attend to give them some time is it in Goodyear, hon? Yes, in a place called Goodyear, and I'm going to be going there. There'll be other people there, so they're going to be there, and then I'll be there, and I'll probably just do some drawing, maybe, and meet a lot of little kids that come in. A lot of parents walk in with their little kids.
Yeah, we've seen that here too today.
We don't know who's more excited about the comics, the parents or the kids, though.
I think it's clearly the parents. Dad walks in with his eyes as big as SpongeBob when he gets poked, you know?
It's like, he will read this.
He's just using the kid as an excuse, so, you know, it doesn't look weird walking into a comic shop, maybe.
Well, you know, I remember seeing this cover from the Saturday Evening Post that made me laugh out loud. It was a painting by some guy. It was a scene of Christmas Day. And the dad was there and the kid was there, right? And they were just focusing on those two, and they just opened up the presents. And the dad was playing with the model airplane, and the kid was playing with a shaver. the electric shaver.
Well, I'm definitely waiting for my son to get a little bit older so I can start buying him toys, you know, that that I think are interesting, that he'll like.
Well, I think you already have your daughter hooked on, like, Justice League cartoons and that kind of stuff.
A little bit. Getting there. Doing my best.
It's funny because the sillies walk in all the time on me when I'm working. And I think the only thing that registers in their little pea-sized brains, not that much larger than mine, is the fact that they see me drawing and they want to draw.
Sure.
They super walks in, the little girl, and she says, "Daddy, I want to draw, or I want to paint." So I try to move her to downstairs so I can keep working, but every now and then I have to set everything aside, get the tempera paints out, and let Super go wrecking my palette.
That's a good thing, though.
Well, you get them to start inking for you, and you'll have it made.
Yeah, by 9, I'll have Super inking in blacks.
There you go. Well, we're hoping that a lot of people get reintroduced to Nexus today and start to get excited about the relaunch of the series. When is issue 99 going to hit bookstores?
I think that's coming out at around the time San Diego's is taking place.
Oh, okay.
Great. So being late July then?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, Steve, about, because you have the preview in the Free Comic Book Day book of issue 99, and I think when we talked with you before, you had mentioned that, like, the first few pages of this were actually done, like, 10 years ago or a while ago. Is that true?
Oh, Gino just told me 99 is 2 weeks before San Diego.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But to answer your question, I did hear that, yes. Actually, no. What we had, in fact, back in 1997, when Nexus got canceled, completed an actual issue 99, according to the continuity that we had going on at the time.
Okay.
And there was some great stuff in there, but for some reason, something repelled us from just using it as is. And it was definitely because there was 10 years where nothing was going on, so we thought we'd take things we had to deal with, like the pregnancy and stuff.
Right.
And just kind of, the last thing we wanted to do was throw readers into something that had a lot of subplots from 10 years ago. So those went out the window, and therefore we decided to keep everything we needed to throw everything out and kind of, you know, keep the things we threw out on an introductory level, which is going to be really important because when you have a second chance after 10 years to bring a book back, you want to play it smart.
Sure. Well, the reason I asked is because I was extremely interested to see, you know, what Nexus would look like now. Being an old Nexus fan and obviously not seeing it for 10 years, I wanted to see what the book would look like. And I was amazed the first page, it was like you guys never stopped. I mean, the first two panels, the coloring, everything in it, it was like you had never stopped that book. And 99 came out 10 years ago. But then as the book progressed, it seemed to take on a little bit of a different look. The same, you know, fantastic art, obviously, but maybe a little more, maybe a little bit more modern of a look, and probably just the coloring more than anything, but I just thought it was an amazing sort of transformation in one page, and I was wondering if that was something intentional or just sort of it happened as it happened.
No, the only thing intentional about it is that I have this acute fear and slash determination to never let people say about me what they say about every other artist, including me, which is, geez, what happened to them?
Sure.
I read this amazing thing in the back of Time magazine one time about they were asking this top athlete why he tried so hard. And finally, someone came out and admitted it exactly in the way that I've always said it, which is fear.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "I'm afraid to do less than what I'm capable of because I don't want the criticism."
Yeah, I think it was Joe DiMaggio said something along the same lines of that. You know, there may be a kid out there that's never seen me play before. You know, and that's why he played hard every day. You know?
Well, that's a guy that can't help but be admired, and I that's really a character thing that I can't talk enough about how I admire that. But when any one of us, and I know we've all gone through this because we're old enough now, to have seen our favorite artist disintegrate before our eyes, it's devastating.
Sure.
And all you can do is sit there and think, you know, go back to what you were, because that's when you were the coolest.
Sure. And
what happened? What happened? You never know what happened to these guys.
Yeah.
So that was always my intention from the very beginning, knowing that as well in 1997 as I do now. Mm-hmm. I never want that said about me. Oh, that rude guy used to be so good, you know. And what happened to him?
Well, I don't think you have anything to worry about, Steve. I mean, it looks fantastic, and like I said, to me it was really interesting just as I looked through the preview of it, because I was wondering, you know, I was like, okay, is it going to be the Steve Rude that I know from Nexus 10 years ago, or is it going to be something different, something better? And it's fantastic. I mean, it's just amazing work.
I think long-time Nexus fans are going to be very happy with what they see.
Absolutely.
That's good, but know that the only reason I don't worry about it is because I do worry about it.
Well, let's talk about your co-creator for just a second.
Sure.
Working with Mike Barron again, has it been easy to get back on the horse with Mike?
No. It's been really tough. Barron, I'm not sure how far I should say this. I mean, eventually it's all going to come out, but Barron has really slipped in the quality of his writing. With Nexus, and I just nailed his ass so hard you would not believe. And Barron has been a bit of an enigma. He's a guy that I have to keep on top of. And I don't know what it is. He thinks he's as great as ever, but I'm telling him emphatically that he's not. because it's my name and everything now. It's hard to know how to answer this here.
You really kind of have to be the drill sergeant with him and kind of keep him.
Yeah, I'm completely the drill sergeant, and Barron doesn't know this yet, but he will soon. I've gone in and supplemented a lot of things that I thought, by virtue of his dialogue and his scripts, were really lacking, and so that's been the most difficult part of all. But I eventually just kind of, the way it's evolved into something the way it is now, I just go in there and change things.
Right.
To what I've learned from Barron over the last 20 years and the things that he's not doing now. So I just kind of slip those in there, give the script a much fuller feel. He's going into the sparseness thing that's really driving me crazy. It's like he omits captions. He thinks people don't need those. I say people do need those, and there's no harm in putting them in, even if you do put them in. It's better to put them in than not put them in. In almost all cases, he's just not really thinking of the big picture of that I am. And the big picture is that, you know, it doesn't matter if we have all these fans waiting for us. That's nice and good. But it's been 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And if you've got 10 years between you, your last book and the book coming out now, you better play it smart, and you better ramp up people in a way that turns off nobody, but invites everybody to come in and say, okay, well now I know this book has got some history to it, but they're not dumbing it down by any means, mm-hmm. but they are making it much more accessible. Then I made it much more accessible than Barron originally did. And that's what I had the biggest problem with him about, I think.
Well, it sounds like you don't want to necessarily just, you know, cater to the longtime Nexus fans, obviously. I mean, you're trying to sell this book to as many people and expose this book to as many people as possible. And if you sort of go into it with the kind of almost inside joke attitude of, you know, people will get this because they're longtime fans, you are going to, you know, turn off people that maybe don't know those, all the inside story and all the history of the characters. So I can see your point from that. Do you think, how is Baron going to take that? You know, I mean, you kind of intimated that he isn't aware that you're doing this.
Yeah, well, if I'm dead a month from now, you'll know what happened.
Oh God! Don't say that.
Either Baron sent something to the mail that exploded, or he sent Bubba down.
Bubba Baron. Well, I mean, you did mention it. It's your name on this. This is a Rude Dude production, and there's a lot of responsibility on your end to make sure that the product comes out and it's quality. So it sounds like you're very aware of that need.
Well, what I'm aware of is the need for common sense, and it's just nothing more than that. It's just basic common sense. No one's read the book for 10 years. Okay, we're going to reintroduce it after 10 years. We took out the elements of a lot of subplots that were going on from 10 years ago and replaced them with more of an introduction to Ilum kind of a thing all over again. That was important. We definitely want to ease people into this 80 plus history of a comic book here in a way that invites rather than repels. And
sure.
That's just common sense. So what my job was after I rejected Baron's first two scripts was I said, look, you've got to bring this thing down to basics again. You've got to somehow bring it down to basics. And you've also got to, we've got to have a story here, but the story's already been provided for us. Sonny, honey's pregnant. She's been pregnant for 10 years now. And what do we want to do about this birth? So we argued like all hell about the birth. To Baron, it was no big deal. To me, it was life-changing. Because I knew, and this is the other thing that he and I have come in conflict with, my intuitive sense of what things should be and where they should go is much more assertive and stronger than it used to be.
Right.
And I just knew that this kid was going to be something incredibly special. Otherwise, you have what I call a massive missed opportunity of drama. If he's not everything he should be to, you know, then never mind the people that have kids in the real world and know what it's like to have things change. This is a kid that came out of Nexus, for crying out loud.
Sure.
So he's I know exactly what this kid is and what he's going to do and where he's going to end up. And I wrote Baron a long letter explaining who and what this kid was. I was explaining that to Baron because he just didn't seem to have a clue here. So we fight things out a lot right now, and we probably always will.
You know, I hope everything works out between you guys because I don't want to wait another 10 years in between.
We definitely want to see more Nexus. Now, now with the series, if folks get the free Comic Book Day offering and then the next issue that comes out right before San Diego, they should be all set and ready to jump into the Nexus universe, maybe even without going back and reading those fantastic archives. Would you say that's accurate?
That's absolutely accurate. And again, this is just a matter of a human being having common sense. You look at the overall circumstances of what you're up against, which I've already explained, so I won't go into it again. And you use the free Comic Book Day. You use this opportunity as a way to let's call it a trailer, okay? Call it a trailer before the movie starts. You know, this is what it's all about, by virtue of snippets, small scenes from the previous 20 years of this comic book. One of the things I do automatically, which Baron is clueless about, is you have to make the invitation very, very easy. When people open up the book and the absolute thing they don't want is to be bogged down with a lot of things they don't understand right away. I mean that's it. You don't get a second chance at something like this. You have to be extremely just commonsensical about you have to put yourself in the mind of somebody else who's never read the book. There's going to be a lot of new people coming aboard for a lot of reasons. One, they've heard about it from guys that have, guys like us, you know, our age guys, mm-hmm. and are curious about what this book is all about. They've been hearing about it from basically just everyone else who's come before them, and they, and if they're curious enough to check it out, then that is the moment when you have to be, you have to use the most common sense. And so if you read the Free Comic Book Day book, and I'm talking about generally anybody here, you guys and anybody else that reads it, finds the book inviting and exciting, and you want to see more, then I've accomplished exactly what my common sense told me to do.
Well, Steve, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being a good friend of the show. It's so exciting to see Nexus back and all the excitement that the Free Comic Book Day offering is bringing to the series, and we can't wait for the first new issue in July.
Well, thank you very much, and I have to tell you that everything that, that a creator does is utterly a two-way situation. And the response, I don't want to say this in a cliche way, because that's not at all what it is, but honestly, I've been amazed at how much the way people have rallied around what I've been trying to do here. Because of that, and only because of that, will this thing be the kind of success that I want it to be and I need it to be, not just for myself, not just for selfish reasons. I think the kind of comics that I'll be doing with the crew are vital to what is missing from comics today, which is a sense of tremendous excitement and you want to see more.
Yeah, well, the people that are rallying around it wouldn't do it if it wasn't good, and it's great to see it back. And best of luck to you in the upcoming months. And I tell you what, we'll check back in with you when the relaunch actually hits stores in July.
Yes, and as both of you commented on, I think I'm most curious to know if it's still the Nexus that you fell in love with from all those years ago, even from the beginning days. That will be the yardstick for me to measure my success about the book. Nothing else really matters to me but that.
Well, we'll definitely let you know, and we'll be talking about it when it comes out.
Yeah, I'll be excited to wait for that moment, you guys.
Well, hey, you have a great Free Comic Book Day, and we'll touch base with you soon.
I look forward to that, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye.
And we'd like to thank Steve Rude. As always, interesting talking to the dude.
Yeah, you never know.
He always throws us for one, doesn't he?
He certainly does. Yeah, I mean,
never a canned interview with the dude.
No, he doesn't have pat answers for anything. He's straight from the heart.
He is
sure.
A character, and we love his work. So best of luck.
And
to
check out Nexus if you haven't checked out the Free Comic
Book
Day.
The Moth is coming out, and all sorts of stuff. So I'm sure we'll have Steve on
one of the top
this year.
Artists ever in comics, in my opinion. But
yeah. He's an artist. Yeah. And he's one of those guys that you'll see other artists will say, "This is a guy I look up to."
Sure.
And those are the ones that you try and pay attention to. Well. Staying with our Free Comic Book Day theme, get a couple of Man on the Street reports.
That's what Tom should have been doing.
Yeah.
He should have been
he's on assignment.
I know, we just don't know where.
Yeah.
He didn't tell us.
It's like, Tom, where are you going to be?
I'm working on something top secret project for the show. Yeah, sure, Tom.
Yeah.
Well. All right, whatever. We'll see
top secret meetings.
We'll see it when we see it.
Well, join us here. We have Andrew.
Hi.
And Jeffrey.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
Yeah, pretty good.
Coming out for the Free Comic Book Day festivities.
Yeah, I was here yesterday. I thought I'd make another stop for some of the free stuff.
There you go. What'd you pick up today?
I tried to pick up everything, and I realized I was on the other side of the table and didn't see there was a limit of two.
Yes.
So he needs two signs.
I just grabbed Wolfman, because I'm a fan of Kirkman, and Eddie Campbell's book.
I grabbed that too, yeah, the Eddie Campbell. Can't put Eddie Campbell's stuff down.
I know, his stuff is just always unique. So
absolutely.
Like I'm still trying to wade through From Hell in our Year of Alan Moore book club, which is kind of bogged down, and it is it is thick and it is dense, and it is, it's Eddie Campbell in a different style for Eddie Campbell, but it's an amazing book. It's not one that you can sit down and breeze through. But now, what's the Eddie Campbell offering here?
It's called The Train Was Bang on Time, and it's inspired by a screenplay based upon the manuscript of a I can't even say it. It's based on a screenplay by Mr. C. Gabby Mitchell, and it's sort of set in the, looks like Old West, and it's about a train that explodes, and
it's coming out from First Second Books. You can check more out at firstsecondbooks.com.
Always good for Eddie Campbell.
Sure.
Anything he does. What was the guy? I forgot. I was going to say something, but now I forgot what it was. Darn it.
Wolfman stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Kirkman's in town.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, we dismissed him. He's downtown.
Yeah.
Actually, Brent Schoonover from Horrorwood, the great Ape Entertainment book, is going to be, I think, dropping in a little while. He was down to talk to Mr. Kirkman. So we'll get the report what was going on down at Graham Crackers. But
sure.
Jeffrey, what did you pick up today?
I picked up Nexus and The Lone Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Though I might have to get that Eddie Campbell. I might have to pull one back. I'm not
Here's
sure.
The last one.
I'll last go ahead and get
Eddie
Campbell.
The last one on the table. There you go.
I actually, I'm in grad school for philosophy, and I actually used Eddie Campbell's How to Be an Artist in one of my papers this semester. So.
I was gonna say you have a pretty heavy book there on the shelf, the Voice of the Fire by Alan Moore.
Wow,
you got to be hardcore to be reading that stuff.
Yeah, that's my summer reading.
Have you been playing along with the Year of Alan Moore?
I didn't have time during
school. Me either.
But,
big mistake.
Yeah.
This month I've been reading the Captain Britain. Which
that's right. It's Cap Britain, and what was the other book this month? It was his DC, which I read while I was on honeymoon.
Nerd.
Good and Lord. It was
awesome. Nerd. Check this out.
Great DC stories, and it's the Man of
DC.
Tomorrow. And,
yeah.
Oh, he had some great Superman stuff. Some really fun Green Lantern stories. So that's fun. Yeah. What else? You got the Next Wave trade. I guess that's the and that's what a lot of the shop owners. One is to come in for free comic book day.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And they want people to pick up other stuff, which it looks like you're buying into that.
Yeah, so definitely.
I think if you're going to buy the Alan Moore hardcover, he should throw you a couple more free comics. I would tell him that. Tell him we said that he should.
He's just lucky you got it before. I didn't even see it on the shelves there. I would have grabbed that. I was going to say, though, about free comic book day, because a lot of people think, like, free comic book day, the shop owners get the books for free.
And they're not.
And they're not. You know, the shop owners pay for books.
Yeah.
They pay a discounted price. They pay, you know, maybe
they're,
what
I
the
think
cost
like
of
a minimum
maybe.
Of like a quarter.
And it depends on the book. Some books are more expensive than others, but they're not free.
That's
they're,
why
they're free
lot.
To us, but not to the, you know, to the shop owners. Nobody, you know, Diamond's not producing these and giving to shop owners for free. It's sort of a good, you know, promotional tool to try and get people in the shop and hopefully,
keep
you know, buy other stuff and keep them. You know, if you're a good shop, it can help. I know, you know, that's why Mark does it, because he knows if he can get people in, he's got a good shop and he's got a good chance to keep people
he
around.
He still grumbles about it, though.
He does, but that's just Mark. He grumbles about everything.
He doesn't grumble comic. About the indie books, but he's like, Marvel and DC should be giving them free, damn it. So.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I can't say I disagree. I mean, I think they... but. You know, it doesn't happen.
So is this your only stop in Free Comic Book Day? Or are you going to
Yeah,
gonna
otherwise I'll get like hooked and never leave in any of these places. I'll never get home, never eat. Yeah, the same for me. I have a paper to write, and I'm getting comic books.
So. It'll be 2 o'clock in the morning, and you'll be in Springfield at a, you know, some rural shop.
I'm in Idaho.
I need the Umbrella Academy.
86th comic shop today. I wonder if people do that, like, you know,
there,
just
there
road
are
trip.
Free Comic Book Day tours.
Tours of
really?
Free That'd be kind of cool
we're
to get
not
a bus.
Like tour buses, but
that would be kind of cool.
You hear? I mean, I see
I think we should
in
do
the
that.
Shop that I never see in here, and there are people
like a pub crawl.
There you go.
You know, do like a nice pub. You know, we'll stop at a pub, then we'll stop at a comic shop. We'll stop at a pub, stop at a comic shop. I think we got a plan for next year.
I'm signing up.
I like it.
Or just combine the two and just get a pub comic shop.
Well, I've been thinking about that.
I like the idea. Okay, a free comic.
I already have a great name for
day,
it.
Free Comic Book Day 2008. Free
pub
comic
crawl.
Book Day pub crawl.
There we go.
I like it.
Started at Dark Tower, and we'll work our way around the city and to bar and comic shop, bar and comic shop.
I think that's a plan.
You'll eventually lose your weight, but that's okay.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter at that point.
The only problem is who's going to be a designated driver. Ain't gonna be me.
Rent somebody. I don't know. We'll get somebody. We'll
hire somebody.
Anybody doesn't drink wants to drive us around.
Get the grumbler.
You know, I always see threads on forums of guys that go to, you know, in the Chicago area that will hit all of the different shops. They'll go to like at least 8 comic shops to get their 2 at each store and pick up a bunch of other stuff, because just about every shop runs some sort of sale or another. Mm-hmm. Mark, what kind of sale you got going today?
Anywhere between 25% and 75% off stuff.
Wow, what's the 75% off
stuff? Yeah, where's that?
Gaming and trades in the back that I had, like 4 boxes of trades that are 75%.
All right,
nice.
All right, we'll be back there in a minute.
Yeah. He was going to have quarter.
All the dollar comics are 50 cents right now.
He was going to have a quarter box sale, but Tom bought them all.
Yes,
so
pretty much. Yeah. There are no more quarter books at Dark Tower Comics.
He doesn't even bother putting them out anymore. He just puts them to the side. He waits for Tom and John.
I show them to Tom first.
Yeah. Premiere.
That's why. What Tom referred to his apartment as smelling like old book now.
Or garbage in last week's case, as we found out.
All right, well, guys, thank you so much for dropping by. Andrew, we always mean to talk with you. You actually have a little bit of history in comics. I think you've since left, but you've done some stuff in the industry.
Yeah, I started doing stuff for Showcase DC back then and did some stuff for Marvel on the side for a few friends. Just there used to be a lot of different comic groups and activities back in the 90s, and hung out with all those guys. So I used to get like a lot of ins through them.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Ross, Barry Crane, Hillary Barta, a bunch of people, Tony Akins. And all those guys are still friends of mine. They're really good people. Mm-hmm. So just
except for Barta.
Yeah, well, Barta.
Evil, that man. Evil.
He's another grumbler, but he's a great guy.
Yeah.
We love Hill.
And then just basically started going more towards video games. And that's where I'm at currently.
Where the money is.
Where the money's at. But it's tough. It's tough. They keep you in crunch a long time. Yeah. You know, 6 months usually out of 3 months before. It used to be just like, you know, a couple months crunch. Now it's become kind of a regular thing.
Wow.
Sure. It's really difficult, but it's much more popular.
All right.
Cool.
Cool. Andrew, always a pleasure. Jeffrey, anything else you got?
No. No.
What's your paper on? What are you working on right now?
I'm writing a paper on, I'm taking a class on feminist theory, and women and aging. So,
oh, good Lord.
So I'm writing a paper on identity of the elderly. So.
Wow. And you're going to school for philosophy, you said?
Yeah. I go to Loyola.
Okay.
So. For philosophy. Yeah.
So you don't want to have a job when you get out of...
Yeah, that's basically it. That's what I'm going for.
He wants to teach philosophy and read comic books.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Oh, man with a plan. All right, just want to make sure.
I should have done something like that.
But you're like Southern philosophy.
Southern philosophy.
Yeah, I don't think there's schools for that necessarily. You're like a poor man's...
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm. I got a couple new ones I'm gonna pull out on you later.
I can't wait. Thank you.
Yeah, that's easier than backing off a grease log.
What?
I don't know.
Shut up. Tom, I wish you were here.
All right, guys. Thanks for dropping by, and have fun the rest of your free comic book day.
Thanks. Thank you.
And we're joined now by Brent Schoonover.
Howdy, howdy.
Does Athena Volterra. Brent, how you doing?
Different Brent.
Yes.
It's a different...
No, it's the artist of Horrorwood.
It's Black Coat, get it right.
The Black Coat, yes. It's Horrorwood.
Yes.
It's a trade coming out.
Yeah.
All finished up with the first arc.
Later this fall, we're kind of eyeing up... I saw Halloween Falls on a Wednesday this year, so I got to talk to the powers that be and see if we can work that out.
There, I always say arc, but actually Horrorwood was a mini-series, but could hopefully be a continuing mini-series.
Hopefully, mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got a project coming out with Silent Devil here later this fall, and that's a 2-book graphic novel series called Astronaut Dad with writer David Hopkins. He's done some work with Viper Comics. He did a book called Emily Edison and Carmen Incorporated.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's going to take me till about April 2008. So once that's done, we'll figure out.
It's nice to be booked up.
Yes,
isn't it?
It is. So, you know, by the time I'm old and gray, then we'll get to that Horrorwood ongoing.
There you go.
Fresh in everybody's minds.
So what are you doing in Chicago today?
Well, it's actually my anniversary with my wife, and so we decided to get...
What is it with you nerds? He's reading comics on on his honeymoon. You take your wife to a comic shop on your anniversary. My wife would
multiple
kill
comic
me.
Shops.
It's called a tax reduction.
Yeah. No. We just
good thing Tom's not here. He'd call the IRS on you.
We live in the Twin Cities, and we just wanted to get out of here. And I've always told my wife I want to take her to a real baseball game that's in a real baseball stadium. So
yeah,
we decided to
you're on your way to St. Louis.
Yeah. You know, we're at Wrigley. So
I'm not even gonna go to the St. Louis thing at this point.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. So you're going to Wrigley today?
We're going to Wrigley tomorrow. Okay. So hopefully it'll be.
Who are the Cubs losing to?
It'll be the Nationals, my friend. So.
Oh, very nice.
So
it's down into the big city from the Twin Cities and getting all the free comic day stuff.
Yeah, we were just in town and I wanted to see where you guys do the show, so we thought it'd be fun to drop in. And
it's exciting, isn't it?
It is.
Glamorous.
It's a magical place.
It's everything that you had expected
it
and more.
Was.
You know, you're sitting in Tom's chair.
Yes.
I thought I smelled that. So. Got a whiff.
Now, you were down at Graham Crackers today for the Kirkman signing?
We were hoping to make it, but by the time we got in, and with traveling and everything, mm-hmm. like that, and not being too familiar with where it was at, we skipped it. So
okay.
I talked to you on the phone while we're getting pizza, and you told me this is the place to be. So
it's a hot spot.
We said, forget it.
Robert, who?
Yeah.
We're going to see around comics.
Yeah. So yeah, that's right. Exactly. So.
Fool.
That's right. No, it's fun. We just kind of took the train, and it's been pretty cool. My brother actually, after he graduated. He went to school in Wisconsin. He came and moved over here, and he was on the south side. So I haven't visited the north side too much, so it's been kind of nice.
Usually when people visit Chicago, they visit the north side and usually not the south side. The south side just doesn't have a lot of the tourist areas like the north side does.
So my brother was wicked poor. That's why he ran the south side. Much like everybody who graduates go.
You're looking maybe Halloween-ish?
Yeah. It'll definitely be the fall.
Mm-hmm. Was the response on the series good?
I think it was great. What I'd like to do is I'd like to take the book to horror conventions and see how that goes. I think we did good. I mean, numbers were good, everything like that. Convention. I think it's definitely a convention book. Mm-hmm. We go to conventions and we sell it really good. I think it's kind of the one-on-one interaction, and we kind of developed the thing of if you bought the book, you would do a sketch, and that was not my idea. That was Abe's idea, and without ever asking if I was, you know, are you afraid to draw in front of people?
It's not their hand cramp,
it was.
Right?
Before we started this, it was a huge phobia. I remember when my parents would watch me draw, I would just buckle, you know, like, go away, damn it. And so,
well, I remember back in Chicago last year, or was it Chicago?
Yeah, it was Chicago last year.
You were doing that on the Horrorwood tickets, which I thought was a really cool idea.
The movie tickets. That's another Brent Irwin, like, amazing idea. Like, call you at 3 p.m, he's like, guys, I have the coolest idea.
We spent a day with Brent in New York.
It's like frightening. 80 million ideas in like 5 minutes. Yeah. And we were down in Wizard World, Texas this last year, and Ape's got some representation now in Hollywood, and you know, they were talking about how that goes, and they were just Brent and his million ideas that he's got to, you know, unload on these
pitch man.
So, yeah.
He is
They ran away screaming, didn't they?
I don't think so, which is good. So we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, you're kind of our Ape representative today.
It's like that makes it sound like I'm selling insurance.
You're the number one gorilla. That would be Dave Hedgecock and Brent Irwin are the number one and two gorillas. But you know, you'll be here to represent them. We did have a free comic book day offering from Ape Entertainment, and some fun stuff in there. We saw some Athena Voltaire, White Picket Fences. There's the Go-Go Gorilla.
Bizarre New World.
Finally.
Yeah, there's another one. They've got a lot of cool stuff. It's amazing to see, like, within a span of a year. I remember when me and Brandon first started working on the book, the only book we were familiar with was Soul and Gray. And they sent us copies of that book to be like, this is what your book's going to look like when we get it printed. And I was like, well, that's pretty good. And then within a matter of a couple of weeks, all of a sudden was like, when the speakeasy went out, and I was like, me ran around the phone. I'm like, you know, we should talk to Abe about picking up a couple of those books because, and it was funny because Athena Voltaire and Black Coat were like two of the books.
Yeah.
And as we were just kind of bullshitting with the guys from Abe on the phone, I was like, I got a couple books I think, you know, like, just be cool. And they are, we're already on top of it. it was weird.
Yeah, we already
all
got
had the
those,
same so. List of books. And so and it happened. And all of a sudden, when we were in Chicago last year, that was really cool because it was just being around all those guys. And it was a fun time at that booth. And probably one of the greatest convention experiences I've had yet. And now this year, coming into the next season, it's going to be fun because I think there's the whole new crop of books coming up and,
sure.
and getting to meet those guys and stuff like that.
Well,
it was
funny. We crammed the entire cast
yeah.
of Ape into a hotel room and BS'd for a couple hours. That was
the first time I've been in a hotel room with that many men and not having a drug deal go down, I guess. Not that that's ever happened.
That was later. That was later.
Yeah. Wait for Marion Barry to show up.
We had a we talked with the White Picket Fences guys, and they have I believe it is a continuation of the story that hasn't come out yet. It's the White Picket Fences is
what? You White lost Picket, me.
What? Yeah, it is kind of confusing.
It's a prequel to the sequel.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
It is a prequel to the sequel. They're working on White Picket Fences, the miniseries now. This is a story that happens after that,
mm-hmm.
and I just wanted to take special note because I'm already a big fan of that series. I love Micah Farrader's art, and Matt Anderson they just have such a great grasp
absolutely.
of that.
I talk to David every now and then, and he's kind of, you know, him and Brent both do a lot of the, mm-hmm. the talent scouting, but they do such a good job of making sure that, like, whatever they follow up with from whatever's previous is not the same thing,
mm-hmm.
and they do a really good job of kind of making sure they find the right thing. And it's not easy because being at the conventions with those guys and seeing how much they get, you know, stuff submitted.
Sure.
I know when I get to a convention with, you know, David at the booth, I'm like, I will talk to you at the end of the convention because the minute that thing opens, the minute he closes, he's looking at submissions. I don't know how he does it. I wouldn't want that job. And it's just because tweet out, I hate to say it, a lot of crap sometimes, you know, but
he always says the hard thing is seeing the guys that have so much talent and are so
but it's
good.
It's not the right project.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and turning them away. We saw Athena Voltaire is in here, so, you know, props to Steve Bryant on that. So sounds like things are getting going on that project again. So.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it, don't know when he sleeps, but he just keeps pumping that stuff out. It's pretty amazing, and that was really fun being next to him at the booth last year, and I remember seeing someone came up to him and actually created an Athena Voltaire action figure for him, and I'm like, yeah, I need
nice
to get a kind of fan base where
moment.
Someone makes, you know, Manos, you know, toys, or Sophia and Bruno figures, like, you know, but... yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Well, for those out there that may be interested in checking out Horrorwood, what's the best way to maybe get some previews online or order
Absolutely.
The free comic
copies?
Book day?
Pick
up the free comic book
is it
day.
In, is Horrorwood
we
in?
We got an ad for the book. And,
okay.
Right now, I would say you can always still go to your comic book store and, you know, have them order it. The whole series is out. You can always go to Ape Entertainment's website, apecomics.com, and you can order it directly through there. You can even contact us via horrorwoodcomic.com and get it. So, like I said, it's out right now. I think we're going to... I'd love to figure out how we can, you know, pull box online, something I've been very interested in seeing if we can get that. I know Ape's kind of got a direction they're going with online comics, so I'm kind of letting them figure out that right now. And, but the trade will be out in the fall, and we're hoping to kind of pack it with some extra goodies. And this summer on the convention circuit, we've actually got a sketchbook full of stuff. It's about 20 pages, I think, or so.
Awesome.
And, yeah, we're still doing the thing. If you buy it, we'll do a sketch. So,
there
yeah.
you go. Next, what's your convention schedule look like this year?
Well, I'll definitely be in Chicago
mm-hmm.
this year.
Good.
And then I'll be down in Wizard World, Texas in November, I believe that's when it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we should have the first graphic novel out from Silent Devil of Astronaut Dad. So I'll be probably pulling double duty between that and going back to the Ape booth and doing copies of the Horrorwood trade. So it'll be a busy time, but it'll be fun. So
fantastic.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Brian, so happy you were able to drop in today. Always
yeah.
good to talk with you, man.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks to Brent Schoonover. Always good to see him, the Horrorwood guys.
Yeah, Brent, it was nice to meet him and his lovely wife
mm-hmm.
of 2 years. Happy anniversary to Brent. And I forgot her name. Kelly?
Nicole?
Was it? The blonde girl?
Sally?
Whatever her name is.
Very nice. Well,
yes, very nice.
Yeah, so it's Free Comic Book Day. We're wrapping up here. It's you want to give your thoughts on a few of the Free Comic Book Day offerings?
Sure. I didn't get a chance to read a lot of stuff, but I think the one that stuck out to me the most was the interesting book by Eddie Campbell, The Train Was Bang on Time. I'm a big fan of Eddie Campbell. I think he's a true artist in every sense of the word, and I'm always looking forward to anything that he puts out. This is a really interesting little book. It's sort of done in a almost 1800s Western, what do you call it? You know, when they would write a lot of the Western dime novels.
Sure.
It's like a dime novel sort of book. And it's inspired by the screenplay of Mr. C. Gabby Mitchell. I'm not sure what screenplay, but it's sort of a story in the 1800s in the West, and this guy who lives in this small town, and a train comes through and it explodes. And he seems to get blamed for it to some degree. And I haven't gone through the whole thing. I haven't read it because I want to take my time with it, because Eddie Campbell just does some amazing stuff that nobody else really does. I mean, the one scene that already really stuck out to me was after the explosion, he's in the jail, and there's a whole panel. Actually, there's like four panels of no dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I was just like, well, what's going on here? Because you see people like gesturing like they're speaking to him.
Oh, he can't hear because of the explosion.
He can't hear because of the explosion. And it's like nobody else does, you know, that's Eddie Campbell. I mean, that's the kind of interesting things that you do. And you have to kind of work at sometimes reading his stuff, because he puts it there, but he just doesn't spell it out
for
you.
Fraction did something like that in the first Casanova, first couple issues of that, where there were Cass and his dad were arguing, and the word balloons were empty. They were yelling at each other,
right,
but they really weren't saying anything.
Right,
it was
right.
I love using the medium like that.
And there's another part in it. I don't really want to say what it is in case somebody's going to read it, because it'll spoil it for
them.
Yeah,
I haven't read it.
It's something where something happens before the train explosion that's very important to this character, mm-hmm. but you wouldn't... If you just sort of gloss over the pages, you know, they don't say it in exposition. They're not talking about it, but you'll find out what happened, after. And, it's just stuff like that Eddie Campbell does. I don't know if it's for everybody, because it is sort of experimental to some degree. And, but I love his stuff. And for a Free Comic Book Day, I was ecstatic to see an Eddie Campbell book.
This year, more than any other Free Comic Book Day that I can remember, there was some really good stuff out. My favorite, and we kind of skipped over top of the stack this week, but this is top
of the Free Comic Book Days.
My favorite was The Umbrella Academy.
I know, you like that very much so.
It was, you just mentioned Casanova, and this is Gabriel Ba, who's the artist, or was the artist on Casanova, which is being taken over by his twin brother, Fabio Moon, now.
But Gerard Way, written by Gerard Way, the first story at least.
Don't look over the fabulous James Jean cover.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of the covers for Fables, same guy doing the cover for The Umbrella Academy. I didn't know what to think of this book whenever I read the solicit on it. It could have gone in a lot of different ways, but it is a lot more fun and irreverent than I thought it was going to be. Whenever I read the solicit, I thought it was going to be a very goth, downer, really weird book, but it was probably the biggest comparison I can make.
Yeah, prejudgments.
Exactly. And probably the biggest comparison I can make is it is a lot like Casanova, and I don't know if it's because of Ba's artwork, but the overall feel of it is that it's definitely left of center.
Yeah,
you know,
I absolutely loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I read the first story in this book. I haven't gone to the other two. There's two more stories in it,
which I want to talk about in a second.
But I really dug it. And if you're a Cass fan at all, if you like Casanova and sort of that quirky weirdness, it was so cool to see Gabriel Ba do sort of like superheroes, yeah, but still in that same weird...
What's probably the way I would describe this is Hellboy meets Next Wave.
Yeah, that's a good. That's probably a very good description for it. Yeah, it has sort of that Hellboy, you know, mid-century weird Victorian oddity, but then the Next Wave crazy humor, wacky humor. Yeah, very good stuff. It absolutely did its job in, you know, giving me a free comic that I'm going to now look for the next issue of it.
Because, and it proves that rock and roll singers can write good comics.
Well, at least this one can. I don't know about anybody else. I don't know if Gene Simmons can, but
we'll see. We're going to find
out. But this one was pretty darn good, and I liked it a lot. Yeah.
The middle story in the Dark Horse Free Comic Book Day offering was Pantheon City, and I'm actually trying to figure out who wrote and drew it, because it was good.
Oh, it's Ron Mars.
Is it
yeah,
the Ron
Pantheon
Mars one?
City is Ron Mars, and the art was Clement Suave.
Okay.
Suave, maybe. I don't know. Color is Stephanie Peru, and lettered by Serge Lapointe.
Yeah, I thought it was really neat. It's if you like, I don't know. It's hard to even describe it, but you know, sewage maintenance guys running into big robots in city sewers and overlapping story arcs. It looks like it's one of those that they'll go from one story to the next almost without without interruption. Is how it read, and it looks fun. I really enjoyed it.
The art kind of got a little bit of a Tony Moore feel to it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sure. It looks really good. I mean, it's really nice.
It's Tony Moore, maybe a little Andy McDonald, if you're a New York City mech fan. It's got a little bit of a feel of NYC mech in it. And then the last one is Zero Killer, which... who did Zero Killer?
Written by Arvid Nelson. Written and lettered by Arvid Nelson. Mm-hmm. Artist Matt Camp, and colored by Dave Stewart.
So there you go. And I did like the Zero Killer as well. Seemed like a fun series.
Yeah, I think this is a really good job on a Free Comic Book Day.
Boy, Dark Horse, yeah, Dark Horse brought it. What were some of your other favorites from this week?
The Nexus one, of course. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see. I thought it was really interesting because Steve Rude had picked out a few pages from different issues of Nexus from the past, 33, 34, number, I think, 35, like five different ones. And he also gave you a little introduction to Nexus, but also an introduction to each one of the stories that he picked out and kind of why he picked them out. So it was kind of interesting. And then a preview to issue 99, which is coming out in July. So, you know, of course, as a Nexus fan, I was all over that one. I mean, I couldn't, you know, and it looks great. The issue 99, and we talked with Steve about it.
Very candidly.
And I literally, I mean, if you look at the first page in the issue 99, it's like
it's been lifted out of Nexus,
straight out of an archive. Yeah, exactly. And then as the book goes on, it gets a little bit different look to it, a little more modern,
modernizes a little bit.
Yeah, and but still that great Steve Rude line, and but some different things that you know I think he was doing with it. But yeah, so I really like that.
How'd you like the Astounding Wolfman? We really haven't talked about it.
Yeah,
and it's interesting because this is, you know, a high profile writer. For Image, it's the launch of a new series for them, and I think it was very interesting to do it on Free Comic Book Day at the same time that he's doing this five-state tour, or five-shop tour, four states.
I liked it. I don't know if I liked the art on it, and not because the art wasn't good, but I didn't
fit the story, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I kind of felt, just my personal...
Art by Jason Howard.
Yeah, and like I said, it's not because he's a bad artist. I think he's a good artist.
And I say art because he penciled it, inked it, and colored it.
But so. But for like a Wolfman story, it seemed out of place a little bit.
I liked it.
Well, like I said, it's just my personal feeling on it. I kind of wish this, as far as the story goes, I thought it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted it to go a little bit in a different direction. You know, it's like because of the characters in the story, and like their resources, I sort of, for some weird reason, near the end of it, wanted to see like all of a sudden, like them hiring mystics or coming in contact with like, you know, people that are in the cult world trying to figure out how to get this wolf, you know, Wolfman curse off of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's where it's going exactly. But no. but that's for some reason that's what I wanted to see. Like all of a sudden, like 1930. MGM, you know, or Universal Wolfman stuff, you know, like gypsies and
I don't think that you're going to see that.
No, well, I don't know. I mean, at the end of it, you have someone that's coming into their lives, but I don't know exactly where that's going.
Yeah, and it's kind of similar to Invincible in that it's going to, I think, be as much about family and the relationships that these characters have to go through as it is the amazing or spectacular in their lives.
For some reason,
you're seeing the relationship between the father and the daughter and the husband and the wife, and I mean they're obviously a very tight family unit. Plus there's, you know, everything that he's dealing with in his professional life as a
right.
businessman. So I think it can go in some interesting ways. So yeah, I'm intrigued enough, and I like Kirkman's work, especially Image, enough that I'll stick with this for a little bit.
Yeah, I think I'll keep checking that. You know, some of the dialogue I thought was a bit... It felt a little forced between the family mm-hmm. stuff that you're talking about. But, yeah, overall, I mean, it was pretty good, and I'll probably be checking out the next one. I did like, actually...
The backup? The Brit?
The Brit. All-new Brit coming in August. So I'm looking forward to that.
Written by Kirkman, by the way.
No, not written. It's written by Bruce Brown, art by Cliff Rathburn, and edited by Kirkman. But it looked pretty good. And if you know, the Brit stuff that he had done back in the day was
some of his earliest.
Yeah, it wasn't fantastic stuff. Not that it was bad, but I think it'd be interesting to see sort of what changes in that. And then there was a Spawn. Some Spawn and other stuff in the back, but I didn't care about any of that.
For those of you that have not read Whiteout, great opportunity to pick up the first issue for Free Comic Book Day. Had a new Steve Lieber cover to it. I would, you know, if you picked it up for Free Comic Book Day and you enjoyed it, I would definitely suggest picking up the trade and gobbling that up before the movie comes out. Let me see here. The Amazing Spider-Man. There was a fun Dan Slott.
Phil Jimenez. Mm-hmm. Really good Phil Jimenez art. Was this a new story?
Yes.
It was?
New story for Free Comic Book Day, and it read like a classic Amazing Spider-Man story.
Yeah, it was good. The art was awesome. I thought his Phil Jimenez Spider-Man just looks great.
I would love to see that as a regular team on Spider-Man.
I would not. Yeah, like Friendly Neighborhood would probably be good. Who's doing
Amazing.
Friendly Neighborhood?
Amazing would be fine. It's because Straczynski's finishing up. Have they announced a new team for Amazing?
I'm not sure.
I would be just fine with Dan Slott doing Amazing.
Yeah. I don't know. Slott's he's funny, and I like his funny stuff.
His initiative has been.
Yeah.
I think. Dan Slott can flex some different writing
muscles.
We'll
see. We'll see.
What else we got here?
I didn't read it yet, mm-hmm. but I was interested enough because I know you talked about it before. The Lone Ranger
mm-hmm.
for Duff from Dynamite.
Yep.
Lone Ranger number zero
mm-hmm.
came out with a great John Cassaday cover. And I'm looking forward to reading that. But,
yeah, it's just good. It's just a good Western story if you're a long Lone Ranger fan. It's nothing groundbreaking.
There were some great kids comics that came out.
Bongo always has a great one.
Disney, some mm-hmm. Mickey Mouse.
Our buddies
Archie.
Over at Devil's Due had the Family Guy mm-hmm. Hack Slash flip mm-hmm. book.
Boom had Hunter Moon, which is a book by a novelist. I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Yeah, the JLA Zero issue came out as a Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, Avengers. There's lots of good stuff. It was another fine class of free comics.
The folks over at Wiz Kids did us good by putting out a Batman Hero Clicks figure, which I'm going to play very soon.
Nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Mark had some Fantastic Four 2 posters mm-hmm. that somebody sent him to put out. So, all in all, I thought it was a good collection. Apes book their sort of anthology piece.
And I'm sure we are missing several, but I was really impressed by the free comic book day offerings this
year. I thought last year was really good too. I thought there was a nice collection of different kinds and different genres and all sorts. Everybody could find something that they would like, and from kids to adults, girls, boys, everybody.
Gotta love.
So yeah, free comic book day once again, fantastic.
Next year, the free comic book day pub crawl.
Yeah, baby, get ready for it.
I'm gonna stick you to that. That sounds fun.
Prepping your liver now. Yeah.
Maybe we'll.
Now that's an event I can get behind.
Maybe we'll make an event out of it.
I think we should. We'll start at Dark Tower. We'll start at Dark Tower at like, I don't know, 4 and. Or 3, maybe?
Yeah, we'll start at, like, noon. And I don't know how late these places are going to be open on Saturdays. And we'll go to this Variety and
Brainstorm.
Brainstorm.
And Grand Cracker.
Yeah.
We'll hit them all.
Mark's Crenshin is my name and all
stop
of this.
We'll stop at bars and we'll talk to them, and maybe they want to get involved with it, too. I mean,
there you
know,
go.
We'll bring a truckload of people.
We'll end up in the suburbs somewhere, lost in Villa Park. God.
I'm not going to get lost. There's no good comic shops out that way anyway.
We'll do like 6 or 8 shops. I think we'll be fine.
I don't even know if you do that many. You do like 4 and you do 4 bars in between. That'll be an easy 4-hour tour.
You got it.
And you end at a bar, we get, you know, food and sit down and read comics and
I think we just found our new event for next year.
Pub crawl 2008. Plan on it.
All right. Details to come.
There you go.
All right, folks. Well, there are lots of ways that you can interact with the show. You can visit us at aroundcomics.com. You can become a member of our forum there. It's always very, very active. Good folks hanging out there. You can send us an email at info@aroundcomics.com, or you can email any of the hosts directly at either tom@aroundcomics.com, sal@aroundcomics.com, or me at chris@aroundcomics.com. You can help us out by spreading the Around Comics love. You can do that by downloading our Listener LCS Challenge flyer, having that put up at your local comic shop. You can become our virtual friend at comicspace.com/aroundcomics or myspace.com/aroundcomics.
And make sure to check out all the great things that aroundcomics.com has to offer. It's your source for the very best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions.
Oh, I forgot to mention the iTunes Music Store review. Always like those. Thank you, folks. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com.
Just so everyone is aware, we post the next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum at aroundcomics.com.
Look forward this Thursday for our discussion about Spider-Man 3, and we talk about other comic book movies and TV shows, and we have special guest Gabe Hardman on to talk about his involvement as a storyboard artist and working on the production team and getting stuck.
Your wife?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Marta sits in with us.
Getting hits on me like she always does.
It's scary.
I can't help it. What are you going to do? We'd like to thank Borders once again for sponsoring this episode. When art attacks strike a small town, only 4 high school girls could be responsible. Get your copy of The Plain Janes by Cecil Castellucci and Jim Rugg at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels, trade paperbacks, and more. Find a store near you at borderstore.com or use the store locator at aroundcomics.com.
We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's our chance to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. Well, I'd thank
everyone. Tell him Tom sent you.
Yes, tell him Tom. And Tom will be back next Monday. So, and so we missed
and
him
I
today.
Won't be here.
Oh, my gosh.
Interesting.
It is a conspiracy.
Maybe.
We're
applying at other podcasts.
I was going to say.
What we're out applying for new podcasts.
Tom got up and left here. He was dressed in a suit. We don't know why. I'd like to thank everyone. Gosh, who joined us today? Steve Rude, Brent Schoonover, Andrew Kadelka,
Jeffrey.
It was great.
Yeah, it was fun.
A lot of fun.
Fun day.
We'll be back again on Thursday with our Spider-Man 3 discussion and all that good stuff. Next week is our 100th episode.
Man. Shut up.
We're going to have Scotty Young's going to be joining us. And,
Scotty!
May have a couple
he
other
He emailed me. He said he finally finished. He's caught up, and now he's got an empty hole
he's gonna
in
dump
his
us.
Heart.
He's going to find
he's got
another.
An empty hole
he's
in his heart.
Us.
No, he said, you know what he said was... he was just going to make us call him on speakerphone and talk to him while he's drawing. Yeah.
Call me. Entertain me. All right, folks. We'll be back again on Thursday. In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in.
And around comics.
Like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my love alone? I know.